But Proverbs chapter number 3. Going through Proverbs on Wednesday night, not trying to do verse by verse, kind of skip and jump. In fact, in probably chapter 4, I'll probably only do one verse in chapter 4. And just as a passage, you know, speaks to our heart. And last week, we were in chapter 3, and we were in verses 1 through 10. And I'm going to skip down to verse number 21 tonight and go through the end of the chapter. And I said last week that chapters 1 through 9 are set in a series of dialogues that a father has with his son. 15 times in those 9 chapters you read, "My son, my son, my son." And we think of Proverbs as one-liners, all right? Wit and wisdom. But you don't talk to your son in one-liners. Well, you might have to with your son. But not typically in one-liners and parallelism. So in these 9 chapters, there's more dialogue, more conversation than there is miscellaneous Proverbs. And wisdom can come to you in a lot of different forms. It can come to you in one-liners, what we traditionally would think of as a proverb, or in a father or an elder instructing a son or instructing a daughter. And so that's the structure. In chapter 3, you have 3 of those divisions. Verse number 1, "My son, forget not my law." Verse 11, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord." Verse 21, "My son, let them not depart from thine eyes." So 3 times, whether it's one sitting or separate, but 3 times, my son, listen to what I'm going to tell you. And it covers a number of subjects. Now the subject that he keeps coming back to over and over in these 9 chapters is the value of wisdom. I told a preacher yesterday, I said, you know, I'm going through the book of Proverbs and I'm kind of running through the book of Proverbs. Because after the first couple of chapters you preached on wisdom, how much more can you preach on wisdom for the next 9 chapters? You know, so it becomes a little bit redundant. But he's dealing with wisdom, the value of wisdom. Look, if you would, in verse number 13. These are the verses we're not going to cover. "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies. And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew." So he's talking again about wisdom, and it sounds a lot like chapter 1 and chapter 2, the value of getting wisdom. And then in verse 21, we come to this third "my son" section, and what he's doing now is he's going to apply this great wisdom to life. Wisdom is not theory. Wisdom is not philosophy. Wisdom is not just answering test questions. Wisdom is life. You don't show yourself wise by how well you can debate or how well you can defend your thoughts on life or whatever. You show yourself wise by how you live, how you conduct yourself. And one of the marks of wisdom in life, just practice, and Proverbs is so simple that it's so practical. And one of the ways that you live and you demonstrate whether you have wisdom or not is in how you interact with other people. Right. Life is made up of relationships. Now you already know I am not a people person. I have the wrong person. And that's funny, I'm watching some of y'all going, yeah. I have the wrong personality to be a pastor. Alright? I don't need to be around people. I don't need to just sit around and chat. I don't need that. People discourage me. People depress me. I can do that all by myself. I don't need your help. But we interact with people every day, all kinds of people. And it takes wisdom to know how to interact with people that you come into contact with. Some people are always in conflict. Some people are always in crisis mode. Some people are always in a tizzy. Some people, they can't get along with anybody. They just toxic, terrible relationships. And that can be a family, that can be a business partner, that can be your church, whatever it might be. And so he talks about wisdom. Boy, wisdom is so valuable. I mean, the merchandise of it is greater than gold and silver and more precious than rubies, and it's the path and tree of life. Now what he's going to do in these final verses of this chapter is he's going to say, now when you get some wisdom, it's going to help you in your relationship with other people. If you look down at verse 27 and 28 and 29, he's talking about a neighbor that needs some help. In verse number 30, here's a man that you don't care for and you want to start an argument with. Don't strive with him. Verse 31, here's a man that gets on your nerves or that you envy this man. Verse 32 is the froward man. Verse 34 is the scorner. Verse 35, he talks about the fool. In life, you're going to run into all of those people at some time. And wisdom will teach you how to interact with these people. And the value of wisdom is that it will give you good favor with man. In fact, chapter 3, verse 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Well, don't you want that? Don't you want a good testimony before men? Don't you want men to think well of you and to think that you're a good person? Well, that's what wisdom will teach you. So I want you to look tonight at verse 21 down to the end of the chapter, and I'm going to break it into five sections. What will wisdom do for you? Well, first of all, wisdom will make you safe and sound. Look at verse 23. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. So he's talking about fear. And fear is a very powerful emotion that controls a lot of people.
Right.
There's a healthy fear. Oh, the fear of the Lord. Fearing sin. The fear of disgracing Christ. There is a healthy fear. But for the most part, we understand fear as that dread that overcomes our heart when we don't trust God. Maybe it's the fear of failure. Maybe it's the fear of uncontrollable circumstances. Maybe it's the fear of the economy or the fear of the future. There's all kinds of things that strikes fear in a man's heart. And one of the ways that government controls you is by stoking fear. That's what the news media's job is. It's fear. Think of how many ways the government took control of our lives by stoking fear of COVID-19. I just read today that the Biden administration is trying to get the mask mandate on air travel reinstated. Why? Why? It's fear is all it is. They want you to be fearful of climate change. And they want you to be fearful. That's how they can institute their radical environmental agenda, is get enough people scared of global warming. They want you to be scared of mass shootings so they can take your guns away from you. Which, by the way, a school shooting in Uvalde, horrible tragedy last week, 19 people killed. Horrible tragedy. What? But did you know that in Chicago over the weekend, 51 people were shot over the Memorial Day weekend in Chicago? Why don't they talk about that? Huh? If you watch the news media, you will be fearful. You will. You will. I mean, at one time, the world was going to crash and burn with Y2K. Some of y'all younger ones don't remember that. But Y2K, you know, thank God you escaped that. We had people in our church, I mean, stockpiling food and what have you, because Y2K, when it hit, all the computers wanted to shut down. I mean, the world was coming to an end. We had some people in our church that after it did it, boy, they had a lot of beans to eat. But I coming. I mean, then bird flu came along, and we're all going to die from the bird flu. In 2006, Al Gore said the planet had 10 years to survive, and if we didn't do something about global warming by 2016, it'd all be horrible. I'm telling you, the world is awash in fear, but you don't need to be afraid. Look at verse 23. He says, "Man, shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble." Wisdom. Wisdom. That's what he's talking about. He says in verse 21, "My son, let not them," what? Wisdom. "Let not wisdom depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck." Then, if you keep wisdom, wisdom will help you to walk in thy way safely. Wisdom will keep you from stumbling. Now, there are some Christians that have to put a spiritual twist on everything. Okay? So if they get an accident, well, that must have been God's will. Well, it might be because you was texting and driving. Maybe that was the reason why. It might not have been anything spiritual about it at all. You can't say, "I'm in the will of God, and if I'm a Christian, everything is going right." No, you're going to need some wisdom to do. You can be right with God, reading 20 chapters a day, but if you text while you drive, that's not wise. You are going to get into a wreck. Has nothing to do with how you love God. Has everything to do with foolish behavior. Wisdom. Wisdom help you to walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. It'll keep you safe. Keep you safe. Tell you how to be safe. Look at Proverbs chapter 11. Look at a couple of verses here real quick. Look at Proverbs chapter 11 and look at verse 14. And this statement is so powerful, it's repeated word for word later on in chapter 24. But Proverbs 11 and verse 14, "Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." There are people who are wiser than you that could help you with hard decisions and hard situations if you would just seek counsel. I've been pastoring this church for 28 years. You would think in 28 years I would know a little bit about it. Just by default you're going to learn something. But I regularly call other pastors and seek their counsel on situations. I called a man this evening and said, "Here's the situation I'm facing. How would you handle this?" There is safety in the counsel of a multitude of wise men. Now guys, if you're seeking counsel from young fools that you just like to hang out with, you're not going to get much wisdom from that crowd. But there's safety in the counsel of wise men. Look at Psalm 73. I'll show you another way to be safe. Psalm chapter 73. Aren't you glad to come to church tonight? Good to be in the house of the Lord. So Psalm 73, look at verse 2. David's Asaph. He said, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." He said, I slipped and I was almost ready to fall. Well, what put him on such slippery ground? Well, verse 3. "For I was envious at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compassed them about as a chain. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness." So he goes on with this. He said, "I got my eyes on men, and I became envious of the foolish," and that thought process messed him up. And if you get your eyes on the world, you'll start to wondering, is God fair? Why do they have it so easy? Why do I have it so hard? So here's what rescued Asaph. When he's all of these thoughts on his mind, he's on slippery ground. He's about to fall. So what did he do? Verse 17. "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein." He said, "I went to church. And I heard the word of God. And I got a new perspective." You want safety? There's safety in the house of God. If you want to be safe and keep from stumbling, then come to church. Hear the word of God preached. Come to an altar, fellowship with somebody. Come back to Proverbs chapter 3, show you another one. How to be saved. Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse 26. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. There is safety in the multitude of counsel. There is safety in the sanctuary of God. And there is safety with the Lord. The Lord will keep you safe as long as you are in His will. Now that doesn't mean that you won't have sicknesses. Doesn't mean that you won't have trouble. Sometimes God brings things in our life to shape us. And we don't know the mysteries of God, but when we're living in His will, there is confidence that my life is in His hands. Proverbs 21 and verse 31, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Wisdom keeps safe. You know, Proverbs 3, look at verse 24. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. There's a lot of people that they're fine as long as they're up and they're active and the lights are on and there's somebody to talk to them and there's some distraction. They got to have something to occupy the mind. But when they go to bed and they turn the lights out and they lay in there in the darkness and the stillness, and now their mind begins to run to all of those dark places. It is at night when loneliness starts to come in like a flood. It is at night when the fears that crowds the mind and they toss and they turn at night. I've told you before that I have insomnia. That had nothing to do with fear. No, what it has to do with. I went to bed last night at 9 o'clock. I just toss and I turn and I toss and turn and get up and go back to bed and get up and go to bed and finally get out of bed and I get up and just get up and be done with it. And that's pretty much how it works for me. I have a real hard time sleeping when I'm traveling. Different hotels, different beds. I think I told Brother Robert the other day when I picked him up in the airport, you know, I'm 52, so I feel old. And when you get old, you're a little bit more particular. You know, I just like my comfort is what I like, you know, and I've just gotten that way. But you know, wisdom, the Lord will give you sleep. Psalm 4 and verse 8, I will let both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Psalm 127 and verse 2, it's vain for you to rise up early to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep. By the way, you can't sleep when you're worried about something. So here's why you can sleep. It's because the Lord never sleeps. Psalm 127, the first one, I lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He'll not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. You can go ahead and sleep because he's not. Wisdom keep you safe. He says in verse 25, be not afraid of sudden fear. Sudden fear is when something unexpected happens out of the blue. Something that you had no plans for. Sudden fear disrupts our life. It puts us in panic mode. But even in sudden calamities, God can give you peace and you're able to face the calamity with calmness and with settledness. When you get really bad news, your first reaction is usually not the best reaction because you're operating on emotion and adrenaline and fear. But wisdom will turn to the Lord and will ask the Lord to guide you in this sudden calamity, this sudden fear, and give you a calm mind.
Right.
Wisdom. Keep you safe and sound. Here's the second thing that wisdom will do. It'll make you honorable and helpful. Look at verse 27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Now those two verses can be applied to a lot of different general scenarios. And generally, what those two verses are saying is that if you have something to give or you can help somebody, don't wait for another time. Do it now because later on you may not have the opportunity, you may not have the ability. Generally, that is true. But in the verses, this neighbor has something that is due him. Verse 27, withhold not good from him to whom it is due, when it is due. And in verse 28, he is expecting you to give it to him. So it sounds like to me in these two verses that you owe something to your neighbor and you could repay it, and if you can, do it. So there could be all kinds of applications. I believe it's specifically talking about something that you owe. It is honorable to pay your debts and to pay them on time. Somebody say amen to that. Sure it is. So two Sundays ago, we were sitting in the foyer. Brother Eric and I were talking, and Brother Eric mentioned some ammunition. He had a deal going to buy some ammunition, 223. And so I said, man, I'm looking for ammunition, and so struck a deal. He's getting so many rounds, and I bought half of it, $100, all right? I'll bring you the money. So Wednesday, I forgot all about it. Wednesday, he walked into my office and set the ammunition on my desk. I forgot all about it. It's church time, but I'll get you the money. I'll run the bank, I'll get the money. Forgot all about it. Sunday afternoon, sitting in my office, about 5 o'clock, waiting for church start, Brother Eric walks in. He said nothing about the money. And I forgot about it. And when he walked in the office and I saw it, it reminded me, I owe the man $100 for that ammunition. I jumped up. I jumped up, got my truck, ran up to the bank, Penn Air, got the ATM, pulled $100 out and came back and gave him his money, gave him $100. I had the power to do it. Well, I don't need to wait. Be honorable and pay your debts, pay it on time. Now, this is not just wisdom. This is actually law. Hold your finger here. Go to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. This is actually Old Testament law. Leviticus 19 and verse number 13. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. You don't put off paying a man who has worked for you. You pay him as quickly as you can. And the reason why is because that man depends upon that money to provide for himself, for his family, to settle his own debts. And when you hold on to his money, then you are disrupting his life. He had a reasonable expectation to be paid, and he has made life decisions based upon that. I owed Eric Petty $100. Now, in a dishonest world, as long as there is no interest being charged, I should delay paying him that $100 as long as possible. In a dishonest world. And here's the reason why. I could take that $100 and I could purchase goods with it. Or I could invest that $100 for short-term gain. I could put it in savings. By the way, if you have your money in a bank savings account, you're losing money every day.
Right.
You are. You are losing money. I heard a statistic the other day that said at current rates, if you have your money in a bank's savings account, that it would take you like 846 years to double your money. Just a little economy there for you. So I could take the $100 and I could hold on to it and I could make gain by it, but that is actually theft. That's not my $100. That money rightly belongs to him. So by keeping it, I am depriving him of the opportunity to purchase goods, for him to earn interest on his own money. Maybe he would like to invest it, maybe whatever, but I'm defrauding him of that. So here's what wisdom do. Wisdom will give you honor. It'll teach you to keep your words and pay your debts. I want to have a good testimony before men. So I try to be careful. If I borrow your property, I want to return it in as good or better condition. I want to make sure that all the accounts are clean between us. There's 1,000 ways to cheat a man. And every one of them will give him a bad taste in his mouth for you. Yeah. Let wisdom teach you to be honorable. Don't look for a way to cheat a man out of a buck. You pay him what you owe him. We used to, over at Victory Road Church, we used to print books for other preachers. They would write books and they would send them to us and we would give them a price. And starting out printing books, we would print their books and we would send it with an invoice and then we'd hope for payment. And we had so many preachers cheat us, that we have eventually got to the place we just quit. You will go broke printing books for preachers. Yeah. A Christian would cheat you just as quick as the world will. Wisdom, make you honest and honorable. Well, let me hurry up real quick. You're enjoying this, but I got to hurry. Wisdom will make you trustworthy and trusted. Look at verse 29. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Devise, invent, make it up. You have a neighbor, he's minding his own business, he's a good neighbor, and you keep having bad imaginations about him. Everything is well, you're at peace with one another, but you ruin it because you keep accusing him of something there is no evidence of. He evidently trusts you because he dwells securely by thee, so give him the benefit of the doubt and trust him. There are some people that you can't get along with because they always imagine the worst in people. I had a lady one time right here in this church got upset because I went a whole day on a Sunday and didn't speak to her. Didn't talk to her. And she cornered me. You know, are you upset at me? Well, you mad at me because you didn't. I didn't see you. I didn't have anything to say to you. You was on that side of the building. I was on this side of the building. She just imagining things. Proverbs chapter 6, these six things of the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination. Did you know that one of them is a heart that devises wicked imaginations? Quit thinking the worst about everybody. Give somebody a little bit of grace. I mean, their lights are on at 12 o'clock midnight. You peek out the blinds. They must be selling drugs. They might just got up to get a bologna sandwich. You don't know. Show you a verse. You got a few minutes. Y'all not in a hurry. Deuteronomy chapter 13. Let me show you a passage of scripture. I preached on this, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago. But look at Deuteronomy chapter 13. Look at verse number 12. Let me show you something here. Deuteronomy 13 and verse 12. If thou shalt hearsay, not admissible in court. Right? If thou shalt hear say in one of thy cities, which the Lord thy God hath given thee to dwell there, saying, here's what you heard. Certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you, and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods which ye have not known. Look right here. You hear say, you didn't see it, but somebody told you that they heard, that over there in that other city, that there are some men, they're men of Belial, they're demon-possessed, and that they have been going around and getting other people in the city to go worship other gods. I'm going to tell you, that's bad news, ain't it?
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's bad stuff.
Yeah, serious.
And you know it's true because you read it on Facebook. So it has to be true, right? So look at verse 15. Then shalt thou surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly, and all that is therein, and the cattle thereof, with the edge of the sword. Verse 13, you hear something, and it's really, 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 really bad, and you know that it's true because it's on social media, so verse number 15, get the sword and kill them all. Yeah. That happens in Baptist churches all the time. Right? But we skipped a verse. In verse 14. You heard it. It's bad. Before you get your sword out, then shalt thou inquire and make search and ask diligently. And behold, if it be truth and the thing certain that such abomination is wrought among you. Your first responsibility is not to get on Facebook, it's not to take a sword, and it's not to kill them, it's not to cut their head off. No, your first responsibility is you need to really check the sources. Before you repeat this, you better make sure there's some truth to it. Do you know how many times I hear something? I bet you I've heard more gossip than you've heard. I've heard gossip about some of y'all. You know how many times I hear something? I'm not supposed to go spread it around. I'm not supposed to smear that person. I'm not supposed to cut their throat because of what I've heard. If it concerns me, if it is my responsibility, it is my job to first inquire and ask a question and confirm and see if there is any truth in this. The wisdom here is very possible that you get bad information. Slanted gossip. Some biased story. So don't go acting on everything that you hear. It is a great wickedness to believe an evil report of mere hearsay.
Right.
I've probably told you this. I'm watching the time. I had a lady here one time call me. Said that her husband, she was sure that her husband was cheating on her. Man of the church, pillar of the church. And I saw it's terrible. I said, do you know who the woman is? No. No. Do you know where he's meeting her? No, don't know. Text messages? No, I haven't found no text messages. Phone calls? No phone calls. Emails? No emails. You don't know her name? No, don't know her name. All that she had was just something in her mind. It's all hearsay. There was absolutely nothing to investigate. And you know that to this day, that man still does not know that his wife called me and accused him of having an affair with some anonymous woman and never told him. You can't operate on that stuff. Now, you know what's so funny? Several years later, that man heard hearsay about me. Never came and asked me one question about what he heard. But he left the church over what he heard say. Huh? You better give grace to people. Look at Proverbs chapter 18. Look at Proverbs 18. I'm hurrying. Proverbs 18. I know I am, but I just. Look, we're talking about wisdom. I'm talking about practical wisdom. That's to help you. You'll never split a church. You'll never break up a friendship. If you'll listen to this. Proverbs 18 and verse 13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Don't be so quick to judge on a matter. Don't take a position until you've heard the whole thing. Don't believe everything you've heard, and for sure don't repeat everything you've heard.
Amen.
Had a fellow send me a message some time ago. He thought somebody in the church had given him a dirty look. No kidding. And he wanted to know why. He came to me and asked me. So I said, go ask him. I don't know. Maybe he don't like you. I don't know. But isn't that how men resolve things? If you have a gripe against me, and I'm sure some of you do, come look me in my God-given eyeballs and tell me. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're wrong. Maybe we're both wrong. Well, let's just figure it out. You ever take a long? I got hurt. You ever take a long road trip with your family, and by the time you got to the end of the destination, you was ready to choke somebody? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Listen. It is impossible for all of us right here to go to church with each other for a long time, and one of us is going to get on somebody else's nerves. We are in this church together, and we are a family, and just every once in a while, you're just going to want to strangle a brother, and that's just the way that it is. But just have some grace. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 4 talks about evil surmisings. To surmise is to suspect something. Well, I think I know why they won't speak to me. You don't know Jack. You are surmising it is what you're doing. You can't act on what you think is going on in somebody else's mind. And if you ever notice that when you surmise something, it is never good. It's always evil. Well, they didn't speak to me on Sunday. I wonder why. I bet I know why. It's why. I bet they're planning a big party for me. I bet they are going to throw a big party for me, and they're afraid if they talk to me that they're going to let the cat out of the bag, and they're going to let, I bet that's why. Surmising never goes that way.
Right?
I just know everybody's out to get me. Who came up to you and said that I'm out to get you? Huh? I just want you to know, I'm out to get you. That hasn't happened. That's surmising things is all it is.
Right.
Wisdom will make you trustworthy and trusted. Come back to my text. I got to finish this. Come back to Proverbs 3. Wisdom will make you safe and sound. It'll make you honorable and helpful. It will make you trustworthy and trusted. And wisdom will make you peaceful and peaceable. Look at verse number 30. Strive not with a man without cause if he have done thee no harm. Don't be so suspicious and don't be so argumentative. Do you realize that you have probably never won an argument? Now, you've argued people down and they quit. You didn't win the argument.
Right.
Come on, guys. When's the last time, honestly, when is the last time when you won an argument with your wife? I mean, where you just sat her down and with your logic and your wisdom, and she finally, the light bulb came on, and she finally said, "Oh, dear, how right you are. I now see the error of my ways, and you are so much wiser than that." Ain't never happened, and it never will. You have never won an argument with her, so you might as well just quit arguing. You think that because you made your point that you've accomplished something. You haven't accomplished anything. When you are belligerent and loud, all that you have done is become belligerent and loud. That's all that you've done. So what should I do? What shall I do? Colossians 3 and verse 33. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. If the truth be told, I probably have disagreements with everybody in this room. We all have different beliefs about something, don't we? We all have different standards and different ways to live. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to preach what I believe. And I'm going to tell you how I think you ought to live. But I ain't going to argue with you. I'll defend my beliefs. I'll contend for the faith. But in the end, you are going to live pretty much however you want to live. Not striving with you. That's why I don't have Facebook. If I had Facebook, I probably would stay mad about half the time. I don't want to see all the movies that you went to last week. I don't want to see it.
Right.
Huh? If I got me on Facebook and looked at all of your pictures of you laying on the beach this summer, I would be so mad it would make me irritable. And I don't need your help in getting irritable. I do it all by myself. Wisdom will make you peaceful and peaceable. I'm done. Wisdom will make you contented and a confidant. Look at verse 31. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. Why would you envy the oppressor anyway? Because the oppressor has power over people. He uses his power to enrich himself. There are some people that will do anything for power and position, but God said, don't choose his way. Don't run over people like he does. You have a boss that treats you like that. Don't make you that way. You had a father that was oppressive and overbearing. Well, don't you be an oppressive father. Verse 31, Solomon mentions the oppressor. And then he mentions the froward. He mentions the wicked. He mentions the scorner. He mentions the fool in verse number 35. And in your lifetime, you're going to run into every one of them. You're going to run into a man who is unfair. He has power over people and he keeps them down and is abusive. And you're going to run into somebody that is stubborn and obstinate and disobedient. You're going to run into a man that lives for sin and righteousness. You're going to run into a man that scorns and he mocks the righteous. You're going to run into a fool. So what is the secret to living a peaceful and a contented and a happy life when you have all of these people coming at you? Here's the secret. But his secret is with the righteous. God has let you in on some truth that the world just does not know. Those people don't know anything about life and eternity. But God has revealed secrets to me. God has confided in me. I don't have to deal with them because the secret is that God will deal with them. I don't have to defend myself because the secret is that God will defend me. Don't you know that you know secrets about life and eternity that the world does not know? The wisdom of God lets you in on the secrets of God. It makes me a confidant with heaven. And they may wonder why I'm so different. Why does he live so differently? It's because his word and his spirit has given me insight to true wisdom. I know a secret that they don't know. Practical, isn't it? Simple. Anybody can grasp it. Wisdom. But the people that you run into contact, it'll make you safe and sound, honorable and helpful, trustworthy and trusted, peaceful and peaceable, contented and a confidant. That's the value of wisdom in your life.